Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Samach Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 12 lines from the top of Daf Samach Vov. Before we begin the actual Gemara, please take note of our nosei, our topic heading that you find in the margin, and note also that this is a long topic. It continues till Daf Samach Zayin Omid Beis. The issues discussed involve Shinui and Yeush, Ikaina or Loikaina. We began this discussion in our previous shiur, the general topic of Shinui being Kaina. We saw on Daf Samach Hei the opinion of Rav Ilah that if there is a change, even if it's a change that you did not impose manually, but it happened on its own, the case of a lamb that was stolen and in the possession of the thief, it became an adult ram or a calf that became an ox. Rav Ilah, we saw, was of the opinion that even a shinui like that is kaina. It acquires, and the practical outcome of that would be that if the thief, after stealing a lamb and it becoming an adult ram, then slaughters it, we say that he's slaughtering his own animal and he would not have to pay the 4 or 5 additional payment that is otherwise imposed on a thief that steals and slaughters. The other topic that we mentioned is Yeush. That's a situation where the owner gives up hope of getting his item back. Are these things, these institutions or elements, Shinui and Yeush, are they kaina or not? We already gave an example of kaina, acquires. The basic issue involves a thief. If we say that these things are kaina, then the thief's obligation of returning involves monetary compensation, because the item that he stole, if you say either shinui, the change, or yeush, the giving up of hope, is kaina, so then the thief is said to acquire the article and is not expected to return it. Though the Torah says, Veheshiv es hagzela asher gozal, and you shall return the item that you stole if it undergoes a change, so then we will tell you that it's not the item that you stole anymore, it's different. So regarding the thief's obligation of compensation, it is dependent on whether we say shinui is kaina or not. As far as yeush as being a means of acquisition, the Gemara will deal with how do we know such a thing. We touched then on the general topics, shinui and yeush, whether they represent a means of acquisition or not. Now, a structural note. We indicate that this structure, the notes that we see here, will some of them will continue until Daf Samach Zayin. We have a house marking, and you'll see that they represent shitos, names. You see immediately Rabo and Rav Yosef are marked with a house marking. On Samach Zayin Omid Aleph, you will see Rabbi Yonason and Ula with a similar marking. When you look ahead to Samach Zayin, you will notice that these Amoroyim or Bionison and Ula deal with these topics of Shinui and Yeush. Likewise, we have a bow tie. Now you'll notice if you look closely, the bow tie has shaded tips. With regard to Shinui, the upper tips are shaded, and with regard to Yeush, you'll see that the lower tips are shaded. So with a very quick scan of the pages, you can see where each one of the names, Rabba and Rav Yosef, deal with the respective issues. Rabba deals with Shinui and Yeush. Rav Yosef will appear, and you'll notice that we have Roman numerals as well, 1 and 2. They highlight the fact that there is a machlokas, a disagreement between Rabba and Rav Yosef on the point of Yeush. So that what otherwise might be confusing, namely dealing with two topics intertwined with one another, two different issues. Shinui is one thing, and Yeush is something else, and yet in the course of the Gemara they're intertwined because both of them have the common issue of, do they acquire? Is it a form of acquisition or not? So we noted on the side where we have our Mivne heading, you notice the house shape and the bow ties. We also have a note that reads, Shitois, these represent opinions, Be'inyan Shinui Keine Lo Keine, Kvar Hischilu Lehoifia Ba'omud HaKedem. Shitos regarding these matters of Shinui, whether it's Keine or not, we already began. They started to appear the Omen HaKedem, the previous Omen HaSamachei Omid Beis. We didn't include them with these markings. The names are Reb Ilo and Rabbi Chanina. Those are Amoroyim. And Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel as Tanoyim. Touched on the topic of Shinui Keine or not. It might be worth noting that, and we mentioned it before, that Reb Ilo went so far as to say that even an automatic Shinui is Keine. In our sugya, Rashi points out, the Shinui discussed here is a Shinui that is something you did biyodayim. That you can see that lost on that expression in Rashi, where you initiated, proactively made a change in the stolen item. The thief made a physical change in the item. That's the Shinui that we'll be speaking about here. I repeat, the Shinui that Reb Ilo had introduced was more far-reaching. Even a Shinui that happened on its own, a physical change that happened on its own, is Keine, according to him. The Gemara challenged him, but he responded to all the questions that were raised. So this sugya, though, deals with a more, say, a simpler type of Shinui to understand as being effective. It's a Shinui that, it's a Shinui Maisa, it's an action that you did to the item, causing it to change. The Roman numerals we pointed out already are here to focus the discussion on the issue of Yeush. You will see a machlokas between Rabba and Rav Yosef, focusing specifically on the issue of Yeush. Is it Keine or not? When we get to the Gemara, you'll notice that Rabba says, Yeush, I know that it is Keine, but I don't know whether it's on a Torah level or it's on a rabbinic level. And that deliberation on Rabba's part is highlighted with a double underline. You can see in the Gemara text the expression e doraisa, or later midorabonon. Now we turn to the Gemara after having given this fairly thorough structural introduction. Omar Rabba, 12 lines from the top. Omar Rabba, Shinui Keine, change that you proactively make in the item, physically, manually make in the stolen item, acquires on behalf of the thief. And as we said before, that means then that the thief will be expected to offer monetary compensation or value compensation to the victim, but he doesn't have to return the item itself. It's no longer the same thing that he stole. Let us look at Rashi, Shinui Kaina, Rashi in the upper part of the narrow lines, Hecha the Shani Lehu Biodayim, where he imposed a physical change through something. Biodayim literally means with his hands, but something that he proactively did. In contrast to the sugya before involving Reb Elah, where the change was automatic through the natural passage of time and the maturation of the stolen animal. So where the change is done, biodayim pshita lay, it's obvious to him, demidoraisa vade kona, that on a Torah level it acquires. V'chima hader, and when the thief has to return, when the thief has to give back, lo boy la durinu benayu, he doesn't have to give back the actual thing. Elodomim mishalem, he pays money to go and semer. Imagine he stole wool, v'yaso begodim, and then processed the wool into clothing. Doksiva behedya, the scripture refers to this, and utanino, and a Tanaic source repeats that idea, that shinui of that nature is kaina, acquires. Avol yeush misafka le. Later in the Gemara, we'll see the next botai regarding yeush. Rabbo has a doubt. Notice in our Rashi marking, we have this double on misafka le, in contrast to the double underline before regarding the shinui where it was pshita le. Here, there's an element of doubt. Hadur Rabbanon Kani, that which the Rabbanon say it acquires, yeush acquires the resignation of the owner to his loss, acquires on behalf of the thief, idoraisa, idorabonon. Does that operate on a Torah level or on a merely rabbinic level? We're not going to expound upon what difference does it make, but there are many differences that can be presented as to what difference in effect makes, whether we classify it on a Torah level of acquisition or merely a rabbinic level of acquisition. Now we turn back to the Gemara, where Rabbo says that Shinui is kaina ksivo tanina, it's written in a verse, it's spelled out in a Tanaic source. Take note, by the way, that we have a long marking, Rabbo, and we noted under Rabbo, Shinui, in parentheses, and then later, Yeush. And this long statement of his goes till three lines from the bottom. So Rabbo points out that it's alluded to in a verse, Ksiva, Veheshiv es agzela asher gozal. The pasuk says that the thief must return the gezela, the item stolen, that he stole. There's a redundancy in this pasuk. Matam aloma asher gozal. What is the purpose of having the repeat of the expression asher gozal when it would have been sufficient simply to say, Veheshiv es agzela, and you shall return the stolen item? The Gemara answers, if the item retains its original identity as at the time of theft, then return it. If it's the same thing, return it. V'im lav, if it's not the same thing anymore, domim ba'alma boy shlumi, domim cash. Cash will be sufficient. And the item that upon which you imposed the change, you, the thief, that is, will keep it. Tanina, and it's also taught in the following Tanaic source. Hagozel, one stole eitzim vasom kelim, or tzemer vasom begodim. He stole, the first example, wood, and fashioned the wood into vessels, or wool, tzemer, wool, and made the wool into clothing. Mishalem kishas hagzela, he pays according to the value of the wool at the time of the theft, meaning he keeps the clothing that he made from the stolen wool. He'll keep the vessels that he made from the stolen wood. Inami, another source is taught here regarding the mitzvah of Reishis Hagez. Reishis Hagez is a Torah requirement of a person who owns a flock of sheep and shears his sheep. The shearings, assuming that there's a certain minimum amount that he had shorn, a percentage of that is given to a Kohen. That's called Reishis Hagez, the first of his shearings. The very brief source describes a case where an individual removed the wool from his flock and didn't give it immediately to a Kohen, but rather he dyed it. So it underwent a change. So the halacha says here, lo hispik litnoi loy ad shetzavoy poter. If the owner didn't give the wool to the kohen until he dyed it, tseva's color, till he colored it, he dyed it, poter is then exempt. He doesn't give it anymore. Rashi adds he doesn't even have to offer a monetary compensation because there's no individual Kohen that can summon him, because any given Kohen that tries to get that cash compensation, the owner can say, I don't intend to give it to you, I intend to give it to some other Kohen. So that's why here it says he is exempt. Alma, what do we see from these examples? Shinui Kaina, the change that these items underwent, acquires on behalf. In the case of the thief acquires. In the case of the wool owner acquires it and no longer has any obligation to give to the Kohen. Yeush, regarding the topic of Yeush, where the owner of the stolen item gives up hope, he resigns himself to the fact that the item is gone. Once again, the thief will have to make some form of compensation. Once you say that Yeush is kaina, so we understand that since the original owner gave up hope, the thief now can get away with simply giving a cash compensation of the value of the item that he stole. But the item itself he can keep. That idea that Yeush, the resignation of the owner regarding his loss, entitles the thief to keep it. So Rabbo says, Amri Rabbonon Denikni, the rabbis say it acquires, and it's enough as far as the thief is concerned, simply to offer cash compensation. Mihu, however, Lo Yadinon, Rabbo says, we don't know, Ido Raisa, Ido Rabbonon, is the level of acquisition on the part of the thief a Torah level or only rabbinic? And here we elaborate. The structure is Aleph, and then a number of lines later you see a squiggle underlined, O Dilma Beis. We give you the two sides of the analysis. E D'oraisa, maybe it works, it's effective on a Torah level, and there's precedent for this. Midi D'have, similar to Amoitse Aveda, one who finds a lost article. Motze Aveda, is it regarding a lost article? Lav Kivon Demyayish Moro Mino Mekami Detesi Liode. Is it not so that if the owner of that lost article resigns himself to his loss before the finder picks it up, Koni Le, the finder keeps it? Hai Nami. So too in the case of theft. Kevon Demyayish Moro Koni Le. Since the owner gave up hope of seeing his stolen item ever again, the thief acquires it. Almo Koni. So you see from the found article the idea of Yeush being a means of acquiring. Dilmolo Damiel Aveda. Or on the other hand, we see it's the case of the theft is not similar to the case of the finding of a lost article. Aveda In the case of finding a lost article, when you finally pick it up, you're picking something up under permissible circumstances. Aval hai, in the case of theft, came under beisura asoy liodei, since it came to his hands through sinfulness, through theft. The idea that the thief would be able to keep it, midrabbonan hu, would be merely rabbinic. The omur rabbonan nikni mipnei takonas hashovim, because the rabbonan felt and figured, let the thief acquire it and let it suffice that he returns a cash compensation, because otherwise he won't do penitence. Otherwise, if we're going to keep it on a Torah level and say, so even though the owner may have given up hope, you don't acquire on a Torah level, give it back, he's not going to want to give it back. And in order to motivate him to do tshuva, I emphasize the word tshuva. You notice the Gemara used the word hashavim. Shav is the same, root form as you find in the word tshuva. It means to return, penitence, to make amends. So in order to motivate thieves to repent, we say, listen, the item you stole, keep. The owner has given up hope on it. You keep it and give him simply a cash payment instead. Knowing that he has that option, he'll do that. He'll return the money. He'll pay for it. Rashi says toward the bottom, Mishum takonas hashavim shelo yei tzorech lechazer litroyach achar hagzela atzmo, so as to save him from the trouble of seeking out the item itself that he stole. We say, just give a cash payment to the owner and don't worry about returning the item itself. Once again, that analysis is saying that's a rabbinic provision so as to encourage people to repent. Otherwise they'll do nothing. Rav Yosef Omar, Yeush Eina Kaina Vafilu Midrabbonin. You see how Rav Yosef disagrees entirely with Rabba on the issue of Yeush. Namely, Yeush does not acquire even on a rabbinic level, and the thief, even though the owner gave up hope on the item, the thief has to give that item back. At this point, we start a series of geometric shapes, volcano shape, or trapezoid if you prefer. You'll find that its direction, the narrow part up, sometimes the narrow part down, it appears in an alternating fashion. On the side of the Gemara, we indicate as a tatna, say a subtopic heading with a mivneh, structural note, combined into one. Shitas Rav Yosef Yeush Einu Kaina. We've presented Rav Yosef's opinion that Yeush, the owner resigning himself to the loss, does not enable the thief to acquire. We have the narrow part of this trapezoid volcano shape facing upwards. This is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. They represent kushios al-shitas rabo, the yeush kainat. So we'll be opening our Gemara with questions against rabo and the inverted volcano tshuvos. Later on daf samach vav amud beis, the Gemara starts a new series of questioning, but at that point it will be questions against Rav Yosef. Mirz Hashem will point that out when we get to it. In the meantime, though, we continue with the Gemara text, two lines from the bottom of Samach Vav Amud Aleph. Esve Rav Yosef le Rabo. He starts a long question. Rabo said that Yeush acquires. Well, let's evaluate that through the following Tanaic source. Gozal Chometz ve'ovar olov ha-pesach. Someone stole Chometz. Chometz, take for example a loaf of bread. And Pesach went by. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Omer lo, the thief, can say, Hare shelcho lefanecha. Here, you take the loaf back, and with that he has fulfilled his thief requirements of return. Vehai, this, the case of Chometz, with Pesach going by. Kevan de Mota Idon Isura. Mota means arrived. When they're arrived, Idon, the time of Isura, of prohibition. That means when Pesach sets in, even from the 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach, Chometz becomes prohibited. Vadai Miyayesh. The owner definitely resigns himself to the loss. He doesn't care about it anymore, and he's given up on it. If, as Rabbah suggested, that Yeush acquires, Amai, why is it that the thief can say, Oimer loy harei shel cholifanecha, here, take your thing back? What do you mean, your thing? He's given up hope on it altogether. Domi ma'alya boy shlumi le, he, the thief, should be required to pay full cash, a full cash payment for the value of that loaf before Passover. And yet, you see, that's not what happens. He gives back the very loaf that he stole. That would indicate, then, that Yeush was not Kina. The thief never acquired it, so he's giving back to the owner the very loaf that belongs to the owner. Omar Lay. So this would be Rabbah answering, because when we presented the question, is Rav Yosef was asking Rabbah, so Rabbah is here responding, Ki Koamino Ano, when I said Yeush is Kina, I spoke about different circumstances, Zemis Yaish Vizer Roitzeliknos, where the original owner gives up hope and the thief wants to acquire it. Hi, in the example that you cited of Chometz, Zemis Yaish, true, the owner gives up hope, Vizer Eino Roitzeliknos, the thief might say a little ironically or hypocritically, here he's a thief on the one hand, but he doesn't want to acquire Chometz, he's diligent with regard to the laws of Passover. Forgetting about the room for, we'll say, cynicism over here, but it's different than the case I was talking about a case where the thief wanted to acquire it. Here, he's not interested in acquiring it. And as a result of that, so we're not going to say Yeush Koine, so he says, Harei Shel Cholofanecha. Esve Abaye Lerova. There's a discussion, we're reading Rava, there's a discussion in the commentaries how to read that. Do we read it as Rabbah himself? But the Marshal suggests Rava. For our purposes, though, it's a question that Rava, of course, is different than Rabbah. They're different people. But nevertheless, the question is against the opinion of Yeush Kaina. Now, there's a technicality that I only recently noted, and that is that Abaye, you see in a diamond, and on the side of the Gemara, I have a Mivneh note, the structural note. Abaye is highlighted here, and a few lines later, Besugya Zu, in this discussion, Royim da Abaye, Male Kushios Al Shitais Rabo Virav Yosef. Abaye is raising questions against both Rabo and Rav Yosef, later against Rav Yosef. So, what you would then want to ask yourself, what's Abaye's own opinion regarding Yeush? If he's asking against the Rabbah opinion, you would get the feeling that Abaye feels that Yeush is not Kena. And then you see him asking against Rav Yosef, who said it's not Kena, so you get the feeling that Abaye holds it is Kena. Something to think about. I think I want to note, though, there's a very, very famous Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Chof Aleph, and particularly Chof Aleph Omid Beis, where Abaye and Rava argue concerning Yeush Shalomi Das. That's a slightly different situation than what we're dealing with over here. That's a case where someone picks up an item, picks up, let's say, a lost item before the owner gave up hope. Later, the owner gives up hope, but when the finder acquired it, the owner had not yet given up hope. That's Yeush Shalomidas. That's Yeush that was not with the owner's awareness at the time that the finder picked it up. In that particular sukya, Abaye says that it's not Kaina. But I want to emphasize that that's a a weaker form of, let's say, Yeush than we're discussing in our Gemara. In our Gemara, we indicated that first the owner did give up, and only after that, in the example we said regarding the finding of the item, after that you picked it up. There the chances of acquisition are greater. So what exactly is Abaye's opinion regarding this kind of Yeush? It's something that one would have to look into, because Abaye is simply, he's not taking a stand, he's asking against both the opinion of Rabba and Rav Yosef. Let's now continue with the Gemara. Esve Abaye l'Rava. Abaye raises an objection. He presents the question to Rava, but concerning the opinion of Rabba, Rabba said Yeush is kine. Here we have a pasuk. It says korbono. And we, korbono means his korban, his sacrifice. And we infer velo hagazul, and not stolen. The thinking right now is that we are excluding from the possibility of sacrificial offering a case where someone stole someone's common animal. The thief stole chulin and then sanctified it and brought the stolen animal as a sacrifice. So the pasuk is telling me that it's not acceptable. Heichi domi. What are the circumstances? Ilema lifnei yeush. If the owner has not given up hope on his animal, lama likra pshita, what do I need a pasuk to tell me that it's not acceptable? That's obvious. Elolav leachar yeush. Rather, the thief stole the animal. The owner gave up hope, and then the thief sanctified it and brought it as a sacrifice. And it says it's not good, it's not acceptable. Shmami no Yeush lo koni. So you see from here that Yeush doesn't acquire, because if Yeush acquired, then the thief's sanctification should have enabled it to be an acceptable sacrifice. Omar le Rava. Rava responds to Abaye. Now notice we have a long marking. Rava says to Abaye, Ulitamech. Ha desanya, according to your approach, that, and we explained before that you're talking about a stolen chulin and then sanctified it. According to your take on things, ha desanya, we have the following source. It's very brief, you can see. And it's it features the topic of Zav. Zav is a male that experiences a certain type of emission, and the emission causes defilement. It causes the man to be defiled, and to the extent that if he lies on a bed or sits on a chair, a bed is called mishkovo. It becomes defiled and communicates defilement onwards. So the pasuk says, Mishkovo, velo hagozel. That means that if a zav stole a bed and reclined upon it, he would not impose the avatuma status that ordinarily a Zav imposes upon his own bed. Rashi refers to this as a Gzeres HaKosef. This is a scriptural ruling which overrides what we would call a common logic, where you say, well, it doesn't make it, he's a Zav anyway, it doesn't make a difference on which bed he lies. So we say the scriptural ruling dictates that if it's a stolen bed, then the Zav will not impart to it the Av HaTumah, that's a primary level of Tumah that would otherwise enable that bed to then communicate defilement to other people. So this brief source is now explained. Hechi Dami, what are the circumstances? E Lema, the double underline highlights the stages of analysis. We call them the shlavim to explain what the source was talking about. So E Lema, the Gozal Amra of the Avde Mishkov, that the thief spoken of here when it said Veloha Gozal, he had stolen wool and fashioned the wool into a bed, into a mattress or a bed. Mi iko lemadomar shinoi maisa lo koni. Is there anyone amongst our Amoroyim, Rav or Rav Yosef, that would say that a shinoi maisa, proactive physical change in the stolen item, doesn't acquire? Of course it would become his own. Elo maisa loch lemeimar. Rather, what are you going to have to say regarding this Gezeres HaKosov of Mishkov of Elo HaGazel? The Gozal Mishkov de Chavrei. He stole a ready-made bed, his friend's bed. And as we saw, the Zav thief that lies on it will not impart Tumas Zav to it. Hachinami, so too, before regarding the sacrifice, the Gozal Korban de Chavrei. He stole something, I call it ready-made, an already sanctified animal. Now, Rashi has two approaches. Let's look at Rashi together. The Gozal Korban de Chavrei, but we have to emphasize, though, that this is the defense of, we're defending Rabbah's position. So, and Rabbah holds that Shini is Kina. That Yeush, let me restate that. That Yeush is Kleine. In the source we saw Korbano Veloha Gozel, we're saying that the thief stole an animal after it was already sanctified. Rashi said, the Gozel Korban de Chavrei, Shehiktish Chavero, Loilum Lifnei Yeush. This is the first of two explanations that Rashi will give. The case involving the korban, it was stolen before. It was stolen and sanctified before the owner gave up hope. We're talking about a pre-Yeush event, and the thief then tried to bring it as a sacrifice. The owner hadn't given up hope in the meantime. The chiddush here is it doesn't count. It doesn't ascend heavenwards with acceptance at all. And this is an amazing revelation. Even the original owner doesn't get sacrificial credit. Even though he hasn't given up hope on it. Lishna achrina, another approach, but again, we have to note that however we explain the case of the korban, we're allowing Rabbah's original point of view that Yeush is kinda to remain. So lishna achrina, another approach, the gozal korban de chavrei, the thief stole a sanctified animal, hilkoch afilu liachar Yeush lo kanya. Here, even after Yeush, since we're dealing with a sanctified item, there's no acquisition. The korban eino nigzal, that which is sanctified isn't subject to theft. What? Why? The cholhei chadisei, wherever it is, beigosu derachmoni, say it's in the possession of the heavenly treasury. So that even if it's a thief takes it and thinks that it's his, it's already in the possession of heaven, so to speak. So, for our purposes, though, I emphasize, according to the second pshat in Rashi, where he says, though it's after Yeush, but sanctified items are not subject to Gezela. Rabbah was talking about mundane items that are subject to Gezela, and as such, the thief will acquire it if the owner gave up hope. At this point, I deliberated with myself extensively what to do. I decided to put a semicolon in to give a feeling of a slight break. We're sticking, of course, within the general discussion. However, the focus of by name wise changes, and that's why I chose that semicolon marking to give a certain sense of a pause and also the chance to continue. We're now introducing a different marking to enable us to keep track of the give and take. And the reason for the different marking is for the very reason I just said, that we're now changing our perspective. On the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh, the structural note, we indicate here too we have a Ma'akav. If you scan ahead, you'll notice how these triangles' directions flip-flop. The point facing up represents Kushus al Rav Yosef, Domer Yeush Ein Akina. We'll be asking on the opinion of Rav Yosef, who said Yeush does not acquire. And the questions will include the Al Hatshuvos Shenitnu Avuro. Through as we go through the Gemara, there will be responses given to defend Rav Yosef's position. And when you see a triangle pointing up, recognize that we'll be asking on those answers that were given in defense of Rav Yosef. The inverted triangle represents Shuvos, responses that will benefit Rav Yosef. So we continue with start with this long marking. Esve, Abaye, we indicated before how Abaye appears as a questioner of both opposing opinions. Abaye asks, Esve Abaye le Rav Yosef. Abaye addresses his question directly to Rav Yosef. There's a Tanaic source that deals with the topic of leather, of animal skins. Animal skins belonging to a number of different possibilities. We'll see a private person, a tanner, a stealthful thief, in Hebrew a ganav, an outright thief who's not stealthful, he steals out in the open, he's called a gazlon. Four different examples. We're going to really want to focus on the point where Gazlon and Ganav are featured, because in our discussion of whether Yeush is kain or not, we are discussing that in the context of theft. The issue that is of concern to us involving skins and leather is, will they be subject to defilement, kabolas tuma? We know in general that something that's a non-vessel does not absorb tuma. Something that's classified as a vessel, how to define what a vessel is or not, we'll say in simplistic terms, a vessel is that type of item, that portable item that you would use, that you decide and conclude to use in its current form, as it is. If, however, you have something, some material that you plan to continue processing further, then in its current interim stage, it would not be mekabel tuma. In this particular discussion, we'll refer to items, the skins specifically, where my decision, it's called machshava, my decision to use it as is would establish it as a final product. Let's now continue with the source. Oros are skins, shel bala bias, privately owned animal skins, machshava mitamoson. The owner's decision, let us say, to use it as it is enough to impose the possibility, susceptibility of kabbalas tum, of absorbing defilement. The shel abdon, the skins that you find by a tanner, ein machshava mitamoson. His thinking about the skins is not going to establish it as tamosim, making it susceptible to absorbing tumah. Why? Because a tanner, in his processing of skins, he knows that someone that he's going to likely sell them. He's not going to keep it with himself. And the buyer might have different ideas. And since all of that is anticipated, the machshava of the abdon isn't going to establish it, because the abdon might think about using these skins as a leather table or a leather mat for eating purposes, and you can use it as it is. But the customer might think to process it further into shoes, for example. And therefore, the skins in their current state are at an interim stage of development. So the consideration or the decision of the abdon doesn't establish the ability to makabel tuma. Shel ganov machshavim mitamoson, shel gazlan ein machshavim mitamoson. Here there's a contrast between skins that a thief stole stealthily. The thief's intention will be able to establish it, whereas the gazlan who steals in the open, the victim knows who the thief is in that case. So the gazlan's machshava is not mitamet. Now the Rashi points out that stam geneva yeush bailami. According to this opinion, the opinion of the Tanakama, your standard stealthful theft results in the owner giving up hope. Why? He doesn't know whom to pursue. It was stolen stealthily, so the owner doesn't know who the thief is. He gives up hope. That imparts to the thief, the stealthful thief, the ganav, the power to establish the identity of the skins as something to be used right now, and hence makabel tumah. That shows us that yeush is kaina. It's an amazing. This is an amazing thought process. Here we're taking laws of vessel defilement and using these legal points that are legal with regard to vessel defilement and using that to establish rules of geneva and acquisition in the context of theft. So we see from the fact that the skins stolen by a ganav, the ganav's decision is binding, working with the assumption that stam geneva yeush bailim. So we see that yeush acquires. That enabled the ganav to be the new owner of the skins and to establish their ability to makabel tuma. Don't make any mistake about this. We say he acquires it. He, the ganav, has to compensate, a cash compensation, but as far as acquisition of the item itself, it's acquired. Gazlan, on the other hand, the thinking here is that standard gazelah will not result in yeush because the victim knows who the thief is and he's calculating, I'm going to get the item back someday. I know who to pursue. And therefore, there's no yeush, there's no resignation to loss. Rabbi Shimon says just the opposite in terms of the analysis. But the point will remain, though, that with regard to Rabbi Shimon, yeush is kind of, the question is, where is there yeush? So he says, Shel gazlan machshav tamason. According to Rabbi Shimon, stam gezeilah, basic open theft, does cause yeush. The logic being, since the victim knows he confronted the thief who unabashedly stole it anyway, the owner calculates this guy is an awfully tough character. He's incredibly brazen and bold. Therefore, I have no hope in getting it back. That's yeush. So in the case of gezeilah, says Reb Shimon, the gazlan's machshava is mitame, causes the identification of the vessel establishment of the item, the skins, as if he decides to use them as they are, as a useful vessel, they will makabel tumah. In the case of Geneva, the owner is hoping that he's going to find the thief one day and get his item back. So in the case of stealthful theft, the owner, according to Reb Shimon, does not give up hope. But what is very clear from here is that Ushmamina Yeush Kana, where the owner does give up hope. It's a machlokas where he gives up hope. But when that happens, the thief acquires. Omarle, so Rav Yosef defends himself. He says, Hocha b'mayaskinon, the case involving the skins, kagon shekitzon, the thief trimmed them. Ah, the thief trimmed them. So now you have two elements. You have a shinui maisa, a physical change, plus yeush. Combining those two forces, so then the thief acquires. But yeush on its own, no acquisition. Thusly says Rav Yosef. Maskif lo rabo barav chonon. At this point, we're now going to be attacking Rav Yosef, but in the form of attacking the answer that he gave. So that we're going to be raising our objection to Rav Yosef's answer, but we're not going to be confronting the issue of Yeush right now, but we're going to confront the answer that Rav Yosef gave to defend his position regarding Yeush. What was the answer he gave? Kitzon, the trimming of it, that already creates a shinui maisa. Shinui maisa combined with Yeush, that's very, very powerful, a powerful means of acquisition. Maskif lo, now here we have a long question. To summarize the question, I will say ahead of time that kitzon, the trimming of a sheet of leather for the purpose of using it as a as is, as using it as a, I think you, if you look in Rashi, you'll see it has to do with using it as a table, as a type of table, an eating mat or a table. The trimming of the leather for that purpose is basically inconsequential. It's not of any weight. And as such, to describe it as a shinui maisa would be overstating things. And therefore, even if you, Rav Yosef, say shekitzon, as far as we're concerned, it's meaningless. It's as if it's not done even. It's as if it's not there, this kitzon process. Because it's so irrelevant. And yet we saw that with the Yeush, the thief was kaine. And hence we are reinstating our question on Rav Yosef. Right, now I just summarized the question. Let's see it in the words. Maskif lo rabo bar Rav Chonon, v'halo itzva shanu kan. Itzva appears here. V'itzva ein tzricha kitzua. The itzva, and now we referred to this before as the type of makeshift leather table. It doesn't need the kitzua, the trimming, in order for it to be useful. Even without it, it's still functional. Disnan, kol mokoim she'ein fisaron malacha. Any time where the item doesn't need any further fashioning, machshava metamoso, then the mere thinking of it will establish its ability to absorb tuma, to absorb defilement. Yesh chisaron melacha ein machshava metamoso. If the item is missing additional steps in its processing, that's called chisaron, missing, melacha, processing, then in its current state, ein machshava metamoso. The decision to use it as it is while you intend to continue processing it, it will not, at this point, at this interim point, be subject to being mekabel tuma. Chutz mino itzva, with the exception of itzva, which is something that even though there's chisaron melacha, even though it hasn't been trimmed yet, machshava will enable it to be mekabel tuma as it is. So that we see from here that what Rav Yosef tried to say in his defense, that the case of the leather by the thief, that the machshava was metama, is because the thief trimmed it. The trimming is inconsequential, as we've explained already. So how, if it's inconsequential, then what was the means of acquisition? You're left with only the yeush factor, and that reinstates the problem for Rav Yosef. Ela Omar Rova, Hai Milsa Koshi Bo Rabo the Rav Yosef Esrin Vitartin Shonin. This issue was raised by Rabo against Rav Yosef over a period of 22 years Velo Ifrika, and it was not answered. Ad Diyosef Rav Yosef Bereisha, until Rav Yosef ascended to the position of head of the Torah Academy, until he ascended to the position of Rosh Yeshiva. The Gemara mentions in Maseches Brachos that Rabbo served as Rosh Yeshiva for 22 years, and upon the end of those 22 years, Rabbo passed away, and Rav Yosef took over. That's the reference here to the 22, which is Rashi and Ksubas Daf Mem Beis Amid Beis makes that point. Ufarka means in Rav Yosef he ascended to head of academy, and he answered the question regarding the skins and the itzva. He concedes that the trimming per se, as a shinui maise, was really inconsequential. However, something else took place that we didn't mention before. Shinui Hashem kishinui maise domi. The change in the name. Before, his decision to use the skins, they were called the skins, and there's an Aramaic word we'll see, mashcha. After he trimmed it and decided to use it as a table, it took on a different name. That's called Shinui Hashem. It's called the new name. We'll see is a barzin. That change in name is like an actual meaningful Shinui Maisa, a physical change. So the emphasis here isn't on the fact that you trimmed it, but it's the emphasis on the fact that now that you've trimmed it and have decided to use it as a leather table, it has a new name. That is like, says Rav Yosef here, that's tantamount to a full transformation, physical, manual transformation. Let's read this all in the words. We said that Shinui Hashem is like a Shinui Maiseh. Tisus qualifies that at the bottom, but we're not going to get into that now. Shinui Hashem is like a Shinui Maisa. Shinui Maisa Maitaimo. What is the reasoning behind Shinui Maisa, where a thief imposes an actual change to the item that he acquires it and can repent by a mere cash compensation? That's as follows. Hasam, in the case of Shinui Maisa Meikora Eitzim Vashpekelim, we saw this example before, where if he stole wood and fashioned it into vessels, he can't, there's no point, so to speak, in returning the vessels. That's not what he stole. He stole wood. Now it's vessels. It's something else. So you pay cash. Pay the cash value of the wood that you stole. Shinui Hashem Nami. The same logic can be applied with regard to change in name. Meikara, originally, before any decision was made regarding the use of the skins, korule mascha was called mascha, an Aramaic word, skins. The hashta, now that you have trimmed it and decided to use it as a leather table, it's called abarzin. Abarzin, Rashi says, is the same thing as itzva in Aramaic. But the main point to restate over here is that yeush alone would not acquire. When you speak about yeush with shinui Hashem, that's already a different story. And Rav Yosef, of course, concedes that there is acquisition, as we proved above, regarding the discussion surrounding the oros, the skins. We ask, Vahare, and note we have a long question here, Vahare Morish. Morish is a wooden beam. We'll see how it's associated with, as a building material. A wooden beam. De'iko Shinu Hashem, we're going to see regarding the issue of the beam, there is a phenomenon of Shinu Hashem, change in name. The Mekorah Kshura, before it's fastened into a ceiling of a building, it's called a kshura. Vahashto, and when it's put into the building as part of the roof or as part of the ceiling, it's called tlola. Utnan, and the following Tanaic source speaks about the stolen beam. Al hamorush hagozel shebono babira. Man stole a beam and used it as part of building his bira, his house. Now it comes to the issue of how does this thief do penitence? How does he return the theft? Shenoitel domov. In the case of the stolen beam that was fashioned into a house, the victim takes a cash payment, so as to encourage the individual to repent. We made reference earlier to Takonas Hashovim on the lower part of Omid Aleph. So, of course, it's familiar at this point. What do we mean in practical terms? Very simply, a man stole a beam. Okay, if he didn't do anything with it, so you return the beam itself. But in the meantime, he took the beam and put it into the ceiling of the beautiful house that he constructed. If you're going to expect him to return the beam, even though the beam still is the same wooden pole or plank that it was originally, but by insisting on returning the beam itself, the house will have to take it out of the ceiling, and this whole structure will fall apart. Someone confronted with requirements like that isn't going to want to have any part of returning it. So we tell him, listen, buddy, take it easy. You don't have to lose your house. Just give a cash payment. Now, what's the reason in this, regarding the beam, what's the reason he doesn't return the beam itself? The whole provision for him to keep it is because of Takonas Hashovim, this special rabbinic enactment to encourage people to repent. If not for that, it would have to be returned as it is. What do you see from here? That Yeush alone does not enable acquisition, even in a case of Shinui Hashem. Omar Rav Yosef. Appropriately enough, Rav Yosef answers, the case involving the beam really was not a case of Shinui Hashem. Morish is the beam, Shmoi Olov, that means even after it's fastened into the structure, the original name is retained. Desanya, we have a source that is based on psukim that describe the building of the Beis Hamikdash. It says tzlos habayis elu ha-melatetim. The term tzlos is a reference to melatetin. These are very fine, small, let's say, pieces of wood that are used to line sockets into which large beams are fashioned. That's discussed more extensively in Maseches Bava Basra. That's really not the focus of our discussion, but this is Ve'ha'uvim Elu Hamarishais. This pasuk is describing a built structure, and yet the uvim are referred to as the marishas, plural of the form morish. So you see that even after the beam is built into the structure, it's called a morish. So that the source before that speaks about the thief being able to give the cash value of the beam instead of the beam itself, well, that's a pure takonas hashovim, because in that case there is really no other means of the thief acquiring it. There's no shinui hashem whatsoever. Rabbi Zeira Omar, a second approach to the case of the stolen beam, a second, we'll say, defense of Rav Yosef's position, is that the case of the is as follows. Shinui Hashem would ordinarily acquire. However, there's a qualification. Rabbi Zeira Omar, Shinui Hachizer Libriyosoi, B'Shinui Hashem Lo Havi Shinui. A change in an item that results in the item's name being changed. However, that change could be reversed. That is lo havishinui. That's not considered a change. Therefore, the morish, even if you were to suggest that once you build it into the structure, the name changes, but since you can, in theory, slip the beam out of the structure, and it's the same beam as it was initially, you see that it's a shinui hachoizer lebriyoso. It goes back to the way it was originally. That is why in the case of the beam, there isn't any means of acquisition other than introducing takonas hashovim. This is, Rashi points out, this is in contrast to the case of the leather that was trimmed. There was a shinui hashem, but after all, it was trimmed. It doesn't go back. You can't reverse it into being what it was originally. As Rashi says, avol avizrin abarzin, that is, abarzin su lo mikri mashcha. Once you took that leather and trimmed it, even though the trimming might have been inconsequential, so it's not really a shinui maisa, but once you used it fashioned it into a leather mat or table for eating purposes, it doesn't go back, it doesn't revert to being called mashcha. Simple skin. The Gemara asks, it was implied from what you just said the following: V'shinui Hashem she'eno chozer libriyaso mihavi shinui, and where there is a name change, and the item doesn't go back to what originally was, is that yes considered a shinui? V'harei tzinor. Tzinor is a term in English, would say it's a pipe or a tube. What it is, it's a piece of wood that was hollowed out. Demeikorak tzitzta. Before you hollowed it out, it was called tzitzta, a block of wood. Vahashta tzinura. And now, it's called a tzinor. It has a different name. Before we can proceed further, a word of background is certainly necessary here. We're describing halachas, laws concerning a mikveh. Mikveh, a rituarium, a pool in which people immerse themselves for purification from a state of defilement, has certain basic requirements. The standard case of a mikveh is a pool in which they're accumulated rain water. Let's, in a simplistic fashion, let us say that the expectation is that the rain water fell directly into the pool. It wasn't, we'll say, gathered in vessels that was then poured into the mikveh pool. If that happened, that's called she'iva. That's called drawn water. And water that gets to a mikveh through vessels, as opposed to falling directly into the pool, creates a problem. In the source that we're going to discuss, we're going to speak in terms of a pipe. Depending on at what point was the pipe hollowed out, was it hollowed out in a detached form and then fastened into the ground, and eventually water passed through the pipe, or a situation where the pipe was never a pipe in its detached form. Rather, it was first embedded into the ground, and while in the ground, the block of wood was then hollowed out, forming what appears to be a pipe. And then water flowed through this pipe into the pool. We're going to tell you that would not ruin the mikveh. That wouldn't be reason for disqualification. So let's go over what are the materials we're dealing with. We're dealing with a block of wood that before it's hollowed out, it's called a ktsitsa, and after it's hollowed out, it's called a tsinura. Let's continue now in the Gemara text. V'tanya, tsinor shechakakai ulebesoiv kavoi, one that was hollowed out and then embedded in the ground, poselas a mikveh, water that flows through that into an incomplete mikveh, will render the eventual pool to be unfit for purification. However, if you took a block of wood, embedded it in the ground, kavoi ulebesoiv chakako, and then hollowed it out, and eventually water flows through this pipe into the pool, eino posel es hamikveh. That will not render the mikveh disqualified. Ve'i amris shinui Hashem milsahi, if the change in name is of significance. We mentioned at the beginning of this question that it had been implied that a shinui in name, a change in name, where the item cannot return to its original state, is certainly a means. We spoke about a means of acquisition is certainly significant. If that analysis holds true, then afilu kavoi ulebesov chalkakai nami lifsal. Then even if it had been embedded first in the ground and then hollowed out, that should also be a reason for disqualifying the mikveh. In our introductory remarks, we mentioned that water that entered vessels and from there into a mikveh is unacceptable. It's called she'iva, drawn water. So that if a change in an item, a shinui hashem, that's not chayzul b'riyoso, is of significance, so we have created a significant vessel, regardless of whether it was fashioned as a pipe while detached or made into a pipe while when already embedded in the ground? What difference should that make? So what we are seeing here is that Shinui Hashem, even when it's Eino Chozer Libriyaso, is really of no significance. The Gemara responds, Shaini She'iva de Midrabanan Hi. The disqualification that we term She'iva, drawn water, is merely rabbinic. It's merely rabbinic, so there's room for, we'll call it leniency. This is a very broad topic. The whole topic of mikvos and even this detail of mikvos shiva is nevertheless a very broad realm. There's a lot of commentary on the topic. We're going to just tell you that it's highly recommended to look into the Tesis in Bava Basra Daf Samach Vav, and to look into the Ravid commentary that you find in the Shita Mekubetzes on how is it that we can call Shiva de Rabbanan, which it's kind of a surprising thing to hear in light of our general approach to mikvos and insistence on things being done right. This is something that needs further clarification. But for our purposes, Sheiva is a merely rabbinic issue, and therefore we have room for leniency. Well, Ihachi, if it's only rabbinic, then Afilu Dereshonami, then even in the Aleph case where it was first fashioned into a pipe and then embedded in the ground, it should also not affect the mikveh. Once it's in the ground, it's no longer viewed as a vessel. It's viewed as part of the ground. So why in the Reisha are you yet stringent? The Gemara answers, Hasam ika teres kli olav betolush. In the Reisha, tolush means detached. Prior to its being embedded in the ground, it was already a vessel. So that to be lenient in that case is going a little too far in leniency. Hacha, in the Seifa, the Bayes case, Ein Torah's Kli Olav B'Tolush, it didn't have the vessel status, just a block of wood. A block of wood is not a vessel. It's not something that would render a mikveh unfit. So it had no vessel status while detached. The block of wood was embedded in the ground, and then it was hollowed out. So it's and since we're dealing with a rabbinic realm, we have a right to look at that as still ground and not a vessel. And hence, the mikveh is not ruined. It's not disqualified. Meisvei, we raise an objection, and this objection basically goes back to the heart of Rav Yosef's position, who claimed that Yeush is not Kaina. Well, let's see what this source says. Haganov v'hagazlon v'anos. Anos is someone who forcibly takes things, and even though he did it by force, he throws money at the owner. We call that a chamson. We've spoken about him in the past. Hekdeshon hekdesh u'trumoson trumo masroison meiser. These, we'll call them thieves, that take items and they steal animals and then sanctify them. They steal produce and then tithe them. Again, we mentioned earlier there's room for a great deal of cynicism over here, of hypocrisy, but we're dealing with the facts as they're presented to us. Their tithing is a tithe. And that's the truma tithe. The truma tithe is given to the kohanim. The meiser tithe is given to the levium. Those tithes are official, are formal tithes. What do we see from here? We see that he acquired the theft. How did he acquire the item? It must have been through Yeush, through the owner giving up hope. Rashi adds that the truma, osur lezorim, the truma is real truma, and it's forbidden for a non-Kohen to eat it. Alma konile l'gzeila b'yeush. The Gemara answers. In other words, we have an answer on behalf of Rav Yosef. Amri Hosam Ikos Shinui Hashem. There, it's not simple Yeush. There's a change in name. The Meikara Tivla of Hashta Truma. He stole fruit, and in fruit in an untied state is called Tevel. Once he ties it, Vahashta Truma, now it's called Truma. Hegdish, the animal that he sanctified, Meikara Chulin Vahashta Hegdish. Originally, it was common, it was mundane. Now, it's Hegdish, now it's sanctified. And in light of the Gemara earlier, you're dealing with a change in name that doesn't go back to what it originally was. There's a comment that Tosfos makes on this. I'll mention it just briefly, but I don't want this to serve as any point of confusion. We just mentioned here that the produce that was stolen was originally called tevel. Tevel is the term for untithed produce, and once it's tithed, then you have the truma standing by itself, and the rest is chulin. So Tosfos says, Meikara Tivla v'afagav d'shini hachizur l'briyoso ayadei she'ela. Even though this is a kind of change, but it can go back to its original state through she'ela. She'ela is where the owner approaches a Torah scholar, and we have the rescission of vows. The same process can take place here. K'namir b'isha rabba. As is pointed out in these various Gemaras, that she'ela, the consultation with a sage, can actually result in the reversal of the sanctification spoken of here. Nevertheless, the Gemara does not regard it as a change that goes back to its original state, given the low shchichah, since that is a very unusual thing to do. So the fact that it's so infrequent, it's so unusual, when the item is sanctified or the item is tithed, that's considered a finality. And hence, we can regard it as a shinui Hashem that's not chozer lebriyoso. And that Rav Yosef certainly acknowledges as a means of acquisition. But simple Yeush, Rav Yosef maintains his position that it does not acquire. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.